Hi, everybody. This is Dean Haglund from the offices of Rational Exuberance here in the heart of the historic core of downtown Los Angeles, California, in the middle of the historic Art Deco wonder known as the Eastern Columbia. I am Dean Haglund, and this is your Chill Pack Hollywood Hour, and I'm here, of course, with my ever-faithful co-host, Mr. Phil Lernes.
I think the words you've been looking for and almost teasingly been avoiding
I have,
otherwise perfect, flawless, graceful introduction. Those words, those three simple words.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Happy 2011 to
I can't believe our it's already here.
Loyal listeners. May not be legion. They are loyal.
They're legion.
No matter how you listen to us, whether you listen to us on iTunes, whether you listen to us
Jackalope Radio,
streaming or download off
chillpackhollywood.com. It's sent to you via anonymous email.
To all the men and women serving overseas.
Yes.
Happy 2011, everybody.
No, I'm still putting 2009 on my checks. Is that wrong? That's how...
It's the fact that there's nothing financially backing up the checks that is really the problem.
Yes. Well, that's also the comedy. That's why I put 2009.
See what I...
That's when I had the cash. You should have checked it to...
I'm writing checks that my bank account can't cash. No, wait, that's not even that's a joke. That's how it works.
You should have cashed it in 2009. Anyway, so, what a show. Of course, as our loyal listeners know, we have a great show because... As you know,
we do a little something special each and every year to get the ball rolling.
To get a ball rolling. And last year, as we did, and we're going to
the
do
year
this
before
year,
that.
And the year before we're, that.
I don't know if you can tell, we're still drunk from New Year's Eve.
Anyway, it's our New Year's resolution show, is what I'm trying to say.
Yes, we get the ball rolling. Now, I know that many people don't make resolutions.
Yes.
Many people do make resolutions. And I don't think either of us. I don't even remember. We had the conversation when we first did this, and I guess it would have been January of 2008.
Good God.
Sure. It was the first time that we did this. So this is our fourth annual New Year's resolution
show.
Yeah,
that's right.
And one year, we actually... I don't think either of us were really big into New Year's resolutions until we started doing this.
Yeah, right. And then you actually have a documented way of going back to check against your real New Year's resolutions.
So what we did that first year was we did a mid-year checkup.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Our semi-annual physical.
Right. And some of it was going good, and some of it wasn't.
And so over the last couple of years, when we've needed, let's say, to... pre-record a show.
That happens.
Sometimes it happens. No. Because you know why it happens? Because we are either individually or this past year with great frequency, jointly traveling around the world.
Around the world.
Filming the stories,
yep.
Telling the stories, performing the improv comedy stories that the kids and the aspiring filmmakers
love so much. Absolutely.
So when we pre-record, it's not to get out of our responsibilities. It's because, quite frankly, we're probably somewhere out in the world giving till it hurts.
That's right. Taking our responsibilities even more seriously.
Right.
So that we're entertaining twice as much. Is that really? No.
Okay. Now, one could say that because I've brought up the concept of pre-recording so much already, that this was pre-recorded, but nothing could be further from the truth.
What? Okay.
So.
What a year.
What a year we have behind us. What a year we have ahead of us. And
Now we're going to put our feet to the fire. And of course, as we do every year, see how we fared from last
right.
year.
We did not, because other than that first year, 2008,
yep.
That midway point.
That was smart.
We quite frankly, we get too busy. We have too many other things to cover.
This year went by.
Too many interesting guests.
Yep.
You know, too many topics that people write to us, for example, at chillpackhollywood@yahoo.com, and they want us to talk about things. So we didn't get a chance again this year to do a checkup on ourselves.
Right.
And so what we like to do is we start the New Year's resolution show for those of you who have come to us within the last year.
Yep.
or those of you simply scoring at home.
Keeping track.
You don't need to scurry off to hear last year's show.
No.
At this point, though, right. We encourage you
to do so. Yeah, pick every first of the year show.
No, we will recap last year's New Year's resolutions and see how we fared and then move into our resolutions for the new year.
Right.
And you, of course, you've talked about this before, but maybe you could do so again.
Yeah.
To what degree are these... Is the concept of New Year's resolution important? To what degree is it helpful?
Well, in terms of helpfulness, like any goal setting that you learn in your advanced self-help book that I gave you for... No, I never gave you a self-help book, did I? No, the point is that...
You're in the process of painting me one, though.
Yes, exactly. The joy of that is that you have an ability to map and set goals for oneself, for which to achieve over the year, that potentially will have you find your potential. No, what's the word I'm looking for? Raise the bar, as it were, as opposed to just sitting around doing nothing.
Well, we've talked about this in the past, and I think it bears repeating, because like some people are so rejecting of the idea of New Year's resolutions,
yep.
and you know, and certainly the idea of it being a checklist, you know, becomes something that stresses people out.
Crazy
do
stress.
It,
and they feel sad when they don't achieve it.
When they don't achieve it.
Yeah.
And could you speak to something that I'm going to call moving the chi? but really, with dance or with comedy, the way that maybe you might prepare yourself physically for a certain performance,
mm-hmm.
it would seem to me... and I'm trying to think if I have an example of something like this, but so much of what I do from writing and directing and editing is more about, you know, completely opening myself to the possibilities and to witnessing.
Right.
But when you're doing something like dance or improv or going on stage to perform even in a scripted piece, is there something that you do that gets the energy, your full energy not only flowing... but focused in a certain direction. Huh. Not just so that you're not blocking things out, extraneous distractions, like I got to forget that bad audition or that meeting that I had or that burrito that I had that wasn't properly refrigerated.
Right.
Whatever it is, it's not just blocking it out, but it's to get all your horses moving in the right direction.
Yeah.
Is there something that you do energetically?
Well, it's funny because I do so much improv. The idea of... forgetting your lines, say, is just not applicable because you have no lines, of course, to say. So actually what I do is I reconceptualize what I'm about to do. And I've always said this about improv. If you actually think that you're going to go on stage for an hour and try and make people laugh, you won't be able to do it because it's such an overwhelming task in one's mind, particularly if you have stage fright or if you've never done improv before. That is not the way to think about it. How you think about improv is, I'm going to start with this scene. This will be this structure. I'm going to build from there. And then I'll have this improv structure here, and I'll build, and the scenes will go that way. If you think about it in linear terms, then it's much easier to go on stage without a script for an entire hour. However, once you get to a certain level of success on that, you sometimes will lack the energy or will become lackadaisical thinking that you could do that. So you then go back and freak yourself out by going, I have to go on stage and be funny for an hour without a script. At which point, all of those fears channels that energy into a focus that you can then go and knock them out.
Okay, so this seems like a very meditative focus. It also is a very intellectual focus. But what about physically then? Because it's your body that has to go perform this dance or this improv.
Right.
And I know that so often... going back when we were first working together, and especially when we were touring with Spectres, you know, I'd talk to you, and then you would say, "Okay, I'm going to go do yoga for an hour."
I would do yoga
or something.
Yeah,
and is that when you're doing that? I mean, what is your aim when you're doing something like yoga before a show?
Yeah,
you know,
you're trying not. It's clearing the mind. Clearly, you are getting into a state where you are open to anything that can happen on stage because that's where you're going to find the comedy. So the idea of yoga as a way of clearing one's mind and making the body flexible because you're going to be called upon to do any sorts of things that doesn't sound right at all, but any sort of things on stage that that yoga does provide for you. So so the answer is yes, yoga is an excellent preparation for doing a show.
Well, and to get everything moving in the same direction.
That chi, as it were.
And so I think, you know, that's how we probably both approach the, or at least at our best, that's how we approach these resolutions, is it's the idea of trying to, it's yoga for the new year.
No yoga, it's my new year yoga, that's right.
You know, setting our intentions, and with that kind of physically tuning ourselves to be open.
Yep.
With this kind of concept in mind, while at the same time appreciating that it is, this coming year is an hour of unscripted improv comedy.
That's right. That's right. Because you don't know what's going to happen.
Right. And that doesn't mean that to fail on one of the things is bad or something you should be ashamed of, or in fact isn't, quite to the contrary, fantastic.
Right.
Because you had the resolution and you set the intention, and through the being open and allowing for this, something else was able to come forward, which you were able to embrace and run with.
Right, develop some sort of other alternative practice, as it were.
So, with that in mind,
right,
let's look at what we did last year
as our
New Year's resolutions,
right,
for 2010.
Wow.
And I guess we'll just start with... let's start with you.
Mine?
Because, I mean, it's the biggie.
It's the biggie.
And well, it is, you know, because this combines both what we say our aim is in these resolutions,
yeah,
with, quite to the contrary, the checklist ticking clock resolution that we ordinarily say we don't want to do.
Right, right. Exactly.
And yours was?
I was going to, I only had one resolution. And that was 100 paintings by the end of the year. Paint 100 paintings by the end of 2010.
I would like to quote it.
Okay.
And then you can...
Change it.
100 paintings on canvas.
Oh.
Were your words.
Oh, that's right. I did say canvas.
And for a long time, you maintained that it was going to be 100 paintings on canvas. You went to... Puerto Rico, I believe.
I
advocated,
uh-huh,
that you count the watercolors that you were planning to do there on the 100.
Yes.
Now, just because I advocated it doesn't make it so, and doesn't mean that you should do it.
But
because, as we know, there's always truth in everything that I say on this show.
Yep.
And I don't often mean the things that I say.
Damn it, because I was going to count how many pictures. I brought my little watercolor sketchbook here. But I did say on canvas, didn't I?
It's your only resolution for the year.
Right.
And, you know, so we could very easily say, yes, I did it. No, I didn't. Here's how I did it to 57%.
Right.
But I think the more important thing to revisit this is, why was this your resolution?
Well, because the idea of focusing on one creative project, that creativity will spill over and will inform creatively all other aspects of my life. And so...
Well, this is, first of all, let me hold you right there. This is one of the things that I love about you, is that you say to focus on one project will inform other projects.
Right.
Which still leads us back to your love of doing multiple projects at one time.
Well,
right? Because you debate this in your head, and you sometimes externalize it as well. You know, this whole thing of, maybe if I just... could focus on one thing, I would get a breakthrough rather than constantly switching
multitasking
around.
Right? Mm-hmm.
But but every way you phrase it, it always combines
other
with this, and you know, you have your own take on this. For, you know, I've said before that the longer I live, and the more that I even will focus on one particular story, like, you know, I had no anticipation of how much the truth is out there would dominate everything in my life for this huge amount of time.
Year.
I mean, the editing process of it, you know, was a nonstop 6.5 months, and so it dominated everything, not just my creative, but everything. But I always, you know, realize that with me that it isn't ever about the story that I'm telling as it is the story that I'm telling with my life. And is that an artful story? So that's my version of the this plus the other, right? And you have your own variation on this. But getting back to your statement that if I focused on one thing, then, you know, how will that spill over into other things?
Right.
But your resolution wasn't to do one canvas. Your resolution was to do 100 canvases, which is not one thing.
Right.
It's 100 things.
Well, but
you
then...
had 100 resolutions. It's another way of looking at it.
That's true, right?
So why was it, you know, you said why this resolution and why what the embodiment of it was, but then why 100?
Well, the idea of 100 is that it seems a large amount and yet not an impossible amount. And at the same time, in order to achieve that, I would develop a practice, a daily practice that would be necessary to achieve. If I had the idea of 100, then I knew I had to paint every day. And that in the painting of every day, the artistic, your skill level grows, your appreciation grows, and all of that creativity also grows with it. So it was the idea of this being a growth year for the skill of painting and the creativity and the ways of seeing and all of that sort of thing. So even if I don't achieve the 100, I do achieve a daily practice and a focus that I probably didn't have in 2009.
Huh? Wow.
See, look at that.
And I like that you know, one of the payoffs to this is the idea of painting every day.
Right.
That if you peel back the layers, the desire is to get into a process where you're painting every day.
Right. But to put that as a New Year's resolution,
which I found was a trap for myself. I'm going to do this every day.
Yeah.
And then, but there were some days where I could not justify that it's important.
Right.
Because I'm not doing 100 paintings.
Oh, right. Right. Oh, right. Yeah. And you can see all of my artwork, by the way, on a new website, Art Majeure. Artmajeure.com. You can see
You better spell that.
Art Majeure is spelled ArtMajeure. No? Is it the other way around?
I think what I'll do is I will just link it on the description of the show.
Yeah, please do. I'm pretty sure it's but it's a European.
And then the New
site.
Year's resolution for 2011 is to learn how to spell majeure, as in force majeure.
As in force majeure.
Okay.
But it's art majeure.
I'm thinking that's M-A-J, and you're going to type it right now.
Yeah.
M-A-J-E-U-R-E.
M-A-J.
That's what I'm betting. This could be our least interesting part ever.
It's spelled M-A... Art, ArtMajeure.
ArtMajeure.com. And they can see all your canvases.
Yep.
Before this year or just during the 100 process?
Just during the 100 process.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so here we are.
Yeah.
It's the first Monday of January 2011.
Hooray!
And what did we accomplish towards realizing that goal of 100 canvases?
30.
100 canvases is a great title, actually, for a documentary.
It is, isn't it?
If we documented that.
Oh,
process.
Instead of doing The Truth Is Out There. Oh, what were we thinking?
We could have stayed home.
No, I did not achieve 100 canvases. I clearly didn't make it.
Do you want to say this? Do you want to say how many canvases you've done?
Well, see, and here's
realizing that it's Monday, the first Monday of January 2011, how many canvases we've done, or do you want to, including the watercolors, for example, that you did, or any other paintings that you did? Because you did paint
other things.
You did some things for charity. Remember, like the doodles for charity.
Why would
that not count? If again,
true.
Stripping it away is to access this artist
daily. Yeah.
Well, then of course those ought to count. In spirit, they certainly do count because again, as we're saying, this intention is to open us to these possibilities. So if we were to include those things that you did, just to name a couple. You know,
where am I at?
Ballpark it. Where would you say that you're at?
I'm ballparking 55, so less than 100, but over halfway. Now the problem is some of the canvases are not completed, and those are the ones that you go, well, of course, I'm going to continue working on them. And some things you're not happy with. So I've had one canvas that I've repainted over three times. So do I count that as three, or is that still just the one canvas that just has layers upon layers of paint underneath it?
You'd got to count it as one because, yeah, I did several cuts of The Truth Is Out There. You're not going to see me putting all of them on my resume.
Well, that's true. But
editor, rough cut. The Truth Is Out There. V2, Mark 1.
Right. Yeah, you're right. Okay. So technically.
Because also, like with writing, I always advocate, you know, and I still see this all the time. Screenwriters, you know, or novelists and manuscripts, they put they number the drafts.
Yeah.
Instead of simply dating it.
Yeah.
Never do this. Never, ever do this. My advice to all of you out there, writers, don't number your drafts. And with edits, quite frankly, too, with versions of the film, date them, but don't say to people, hey, this is my third cut. This is our fine cut. This is our thing. You know, internally, among the people with whom you're collaborating, that's fine.
Right.
But you don't go out into public and say, hey, this is...
Yeah, a version that isn't...
Because that's going to form people's... It's going to invite people's judgment
right.
more than their feedback.
Ah.
Like, oh, this is great for a rough cut. You know, never mind if it's your fourth cut.
Yeah.
Say, okay, great. Well, what did you like about it? You know, what wasn't working for you? Don't say, oh, well, this is our fourth cut, actually. Because then suddenly, oh,
this is the best you could do.
Yeah. And with the screenplay drafts, right?
Yep.
You know, don't tell people how many drafts it is because there will always be, oh, it took you eight drafts. Wait a minute. If this is an eighth draft, it should be better. Or, you know, first draft. Why are you wasting my time with your first draft?
Yeah.
Go and do a bunch more drafts and then come back to me.
Yeah, exactly. And not only that, just... you know, what constitutes a new draft? There's a problem with Act 2. You fixed Act 2. Does that mean the first and third acts are shot? No, those were great all along. But then to call it, oh, a first draft or a second, you know, that it's almost a moot point of what draft it is. So I agree with you. Just date it, and then we'll know where you stand and where it's at. And we don't frankly want to know how much work has been put in. It's just how does the final product work?
So, how many different
canvases?
How many are completed, including not just canvases? How many different works of art of the painting? You know, or how many painting 40, works of art did you complete this year?
47. 47. But I don't feel bad about it.
You shouldn't,
because I have a daily 47 practice.
47 is a huge amount of
exactly,
and how many, though, also because I know that how you were working,
yeah,
you had many kind of going at one time. Yeah,
absolutely.
In different stages. So when I would think that you probably still have more
to go,
but in concept.
Oh, yeah.
Or in maybe you've taken photos or you've done sketches or pencil sketches or
tell
whatever.
Tell me about it, yeah.
So like right now, you know, as we sit here, how many... do you have in some sort of
conceptual, like,
or in process? I mean, I think.
Well, this is the thing. What's my, you know, while I was in Austin, Texas, I took some pictures of some longhorn steers.
I would say that if you have,
and those are going
to
be
inspiration of it would be nice to do a painting of that. Yeah. From that through to
it's hanging on the wall,
or anything other than I'm done.
Right.
From that initial spark through to the very last stages before you say it's done, I'm giving it, I'm selling it, I'm hanging it on the wall, how many right now are in process, just to give us some kind of idea?
Well, that I would say is another 100.
Wow.
Yeah, because there's like a graveyard series. I'm doing the all the monsters of the X-Files. I'm painting all of the... you know, from the series, each one of the horrific monsters, that's going to be a whole 8x10 series. That's going to be really cool. I have all my travel shots. I'm doing a whole the cemeteries of Europe as a series of canvases. He's got some portraiture lined up. I'm doing some more mashups between old comic book heroes and modern day Japanese. You know, like I had Conan fighting Hello Kitty that sold recently. You know, stuff like that.
Which he might be doing if his talk show continues.
I think Conan the Barbarian.
Oh, see what I did?
Yes, you did. Hilarious. So that's that sort of sums up my my New Year's resolution, the one passed. How about you?
Well, thank you. Thank you for asking. I'm actually I've been preparing, as you see, a little something for the very end of our show.
Oh,
so that's why I'm going through our old shows right now. While interviewing you about
that's
your,
so awesome.
Yeah, I think that was okay. Well, let me ask you one more question.
Okay.
Then. Well, because you know we've got the time. What
we got a whole new year.
What did you learn about yourself through this resolution that maybe you did not know?
Well, I learned that.
Sorry. Go ahead.
That's your question.
And even if simply what you learned was, I would have phrased my resolution differently, you know, or in some way.
That.
But why? You know, what did you learn about it? You know, looking at that resolution.
Yeah.
Not the process of painting and painting every day, but looking at how you made that resolution. What did that lead you to discover?
Well, the whole idea of like why the 100 canvases? The idea of getting to a daily practice, and that as always, what fell behind, of course. I no longer do yoga daily, oddly enough. I miss it, but for some reason, following this desperate pursuit of 100 canvases somehow shunted like my daily yoga practice to the side, which is odd because you would think that that's when you need it most, and yet that's what happened.
Did you ever finish or... but you were going to draw a book or you were drawing a book?
A yoga book, yeah. No, I wasn't... it was other artists also working in tandem. So it was going to be a yoga book for office workers. And
right? Not photos.
Not photos. But drawn by other artists of me in their comic book styles. So that each pose had a different artist working on it. And it was going to be some 25 poses with 25 different of my friends who do the comic books. Like Mike Bear. Dave Dorman, you know, John Van Sleet, all of these guys I had an agreement with. And of course, I even had a book publisher on that one. And the woman helping me on that one stopped returning my calls.
Well, I had remembered that it was going to be drawn, and I thought that you were doing that.
Well, you know, now you say that, maybe I should. Maybe it should just be me, because that would make things a lot easier. And if I get that book out faster.
And you might get to 100.
Well... Now you're talking. This is maybe my extra resolution for this year.
Well, we'll get to that a little bit later.
Okay.
So so looking at mine was very list-oriented in a way.
Yes.
I had broken them down into different categories this year.
Yes, you did.
Because I wanted to find, you know, real integration, you know, real mind-body-spirit integration.
Yes.
And then also, you know, creativity. So I had those four different categories. And I wanted to, you know, so that, because like you just said, you know, you can get so caught up in the creative and then this physical, the yoga practice falls by the wayside. Mm-hmm. And if we're trying to live in harmony
and
realizing that integration is so important because they all fuel and feed each other, you know, how do we do that? So I tried to set up some real goals for myself and also things that would take me out of my particular comfort zone.
Right.
Do some things that I definitely did not want to do.
So remind us then, what were last year's resolutions?
Well, like for example, I'll say for my mind,
You
know, the resolutions for my mind, to watch more films by master directors in foreign languages.
Yeah. And did you achieve that?
I only saw 14 foreign language films during the year.
That's low for you.
Yeah. So less than one, or just a little more than one a month. And only six of them by people that I would consider masters or contemporary masters.
Oh.
You know, because like I consider Alejandro González Iñárritu a contemporary master.
Right.
I did see Akira Kurosawa's Ron on the big screen, and it's reissued this
right.
year. It's restoration, complete restoration.
Yeah.
But so only that many. And of course, I saw fewer films this year than I did in any year over the past decade or whatever. And over the last couple of months, I've been making sure that I watch at least one or two films a day.
Holy crap!
To
catch up.
You once asked me, like, how do you see this many? How can you watch this many? You know, and I was going, well, what's difficult about it? I mean, this is what we do, right? What's difficult about it? And one thing that I realized about the one film a day, I can watch one film a day in the amount of time that you spend walking your dogs.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's how. I mean, that's one thing, right?
You have
it's
no
like
pets.
40 minutes, yep. 40 or 45 minutes in the morning, as I know it takes. You know, mm-hmm. It takes a little longer for me when I'm taking care of your dogs, which I enjoy to do. It takes me a little longer in the morning, which is kind of counterintuitive because you'd think, oh, I got to get back to bed.
Yeah.
But I'm just moving slow. You know,
it's true.
Whereas at the end of the workday, it's like I'm ready to get some
exercise
and get it out.
Of this
and
table,
get it,
yeah.
You know, but you know, you take those two. Well, that's a movie length.
That's a 90 minute movie.
So that's one of the reasons that it, you know.
I see. So I can blame my dogs for not seeing as much.
I don't think that was the point.
Is that the point in your story?
I think the point was that, you know, it's you can't compare the amount of time because not everybody has the same responsibilities and the same things, right?
There you go. Thank you.
Like, so I don't know. I mean, but when you look at my resolution, though, more films.
Right. What does that mean?
More than what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this is what they say in goal planning. You have to be specific when I say 100.
But I was specific because one would have been more.
Than not seeing any.
Than not seeing any.
Right. As opposed to had you said 14, you would have achieved.
But I think that the impetus on it, you know, looking at the intent was not to waste my time with stuff that I know none of us need to see.
Ah, so you know, didn't go to see.
I did not. I saw fewer movies than I ever saw before. And one of the reasons was because when I got to that point of I have the time to look at a movie, as so many of us do, rather than watch a film. Good films demand that we watch them.
Right.
You can't look at them.
That's true.
Most movies you look at. And when I would get done with a 12-hour editing jag and could not immerse myself in the world of another story and characters, but could have put on
Transformers
or, you know,
whatever.
Yeah, whatever, you know, just some
mindless,
no doubt studio release. I said, "You know what? If I have energy enough for that, but not for something that will enrich me, there's got to be something better I can do with my time."
Ah, that's an excellent point.
So rather than just turn on the tube, you know, like I used to do when I would work office job, right?
Right.
You know, when I worked as a creative exec or, you know, in distribution or whatever, I would sometimes come home at the end of the day and find myself turning on the TV and just sitting in front of it.
Right. As a way to just release your mind.
You know, and not, or I'll grab takeout food and sit in front of the TV.
Yeah.
You know, instead of, I'll go home and I'll take care of myself.
Right.
And reward myself for my day of work, you know, and that's the challenge always.
Always the challenge.
So that's kind of the intent of it. But, okay. So breeze through some of these.
Yes. What were some of the others?
Because not all these. Oh, 2 books a month.
Remember?
2 books a month. And
I was trying to support
and
you
part on. Of that was that we would say that we would list what we were reading each and every show. And we really have fallen off on that because we just run out of time at the end. And so I think maybe collectively a New Year's resolution for us should be that we should open every show.
With what we're reading. That's an excellent one.
I did not get to the point where I read 2 books a month.
No.
Completed. But I always had at least 2 books going
at
all times. And I would say I probably averaged 1.5 books completed each month.
Oh.
So 2 a month will be something I carry forward.
Right. Excellent. So, well, that's fair. We can carry forward.
I wrote more walks of exploration in Los Angeles.
Just like that gift you gave you last Christmas, walking in L.A.
I never got to that. Mm. Like in those maps, I never got... because when we were in town... there was so much to accomplish.
Yes.
In fact, during the editing process, I didn't walk nearly enough.
Right.
And it's really one of those things that I got to really get myself to do.
Well, when you wrote these, you didn't know the editing process.
You didn't know. Obviously,
you
didn't know.
That massive.
But that's the flip side to it.
Yeah.
More walks of exploration in Los Angeles. No, we traveled a heck of a lot. Did I go on a heck of a lot of explorations into places I hadn't seen before?
Yes.
Outside of Los Angeles.
Totally.
And a lot of those places I would go for walks and I would get to know.
You did
places.
Walk around northern British Columbia.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, see? So there you go. You could check that off then.
So, but you know, just being open to it and seeing where these things lead you, that's the fun of it.
Yeah.
And number four, for the mind, visit places I have never been before. Nailed it.
Yes, you certainly have.
Right?
Yeah, you were there.
So then for the body. I had to take a dance class.
Did you?
Well, see, the mind, doing the walks of exploration was for the mind rather than just doing it as exercise.
Right.
To activate the mind, because in the process, my body would get the exercise.
That's right. But instead, you said take a dance class.
But for the body, for the dance.
Yeah, yeah.
And especially for the body, rather than, again, if it had been for the mind, not learning how to dance.
Right.
It's not that.
No.
It's let the body dance.
Right.
And get out of my mind about, am I doing this badly? Am I doing this poorly? How will this pay off
right,
for my
right.
one-man review? When I do that one-man show all about Tommy Toon that I was born to do.
You were born to do it.
I go to Rio
de Janeiro.
And I did that. I did a ballroom dance class.
What?
So.
I didn't know that.
Nailed it.
Jeez.
See the periodontist. I've got some gum things going on. I have seen the periodontist, and she has seen me. I'll leave it at that.
And I am periodontist. And it is me.
I like this. I put this, visit the doctor.
Oh, yeah.
Just hey, how you doing? Just wanted to stop by.
Shit, first bell visit. With a little pipe?
Yep. Yeah.
No, I don't think you went. Did you go?
It's hard to know this the first Monday of January.
If you went. Oh, really?
It's hard to know.
Maybe a week ago you went?
Yeah, maybe I did.
Okay.
Yeah, whatever. I don't like, as you know, I don't like the Western medicine. I'm not a big fan, and yet, you know.
Well, but you live in Los Angeles, home to alternative medical
right.
healing around from around the world
right,
that come
which
here.
I embrace, but this was the idea that I was going to get a Western medical checkup.
Yeah, well, you could still get that with an alternative health perspective. Yeah.
Oh, you gave me a good... Okay.
See?
All right. You gave me a good one for the new year.
Okay,
right.
Good. There you go.
What else do we have? Oh, and finally, eat less sugar and dairy and much more leafy greens. Nailed the leafy greens. As you know, I go to the farmer's market twice a week.
Yes.
Less sugar and dairy. Hard to know because, you know what? We've just come through the holidays.
Yep.
And pretty much from the end of November through... It's all cream and sugar.
Yeah. Though I didn't get you chocolates this year.
No, you did.
I didn't. Or for your birthday.
You painted me chocolates.
Yes.
So for the new year,
look how delicious
new year it'll
be
more
be.
Paintings of leafy greens from Dean Engel. So for the spirit, let's go to the spirit.
Which do?
Meditate every day.
Ah.
Now this becomes the thing where it becomes almost like a checklist.
Right.
You know, and it's like, I know I didn't. And at the same time,
yes,
when you're in editing, especially the unique nature of editing this project, as opposed to another one where
you, linear.
You have this judgment that is based very much on kind of the story that everybody set out to tell.
Right.
Here, we, and of course, it's still a process of discovery even in those cases, but in this kind of documentary... Because it's not true that with all documentaries it's this way. In fact, many documentaries, it's still the story you set out to tell.
Right.
Or someone set out to tell and they paid you to make the documentary. And you scripted around it and set up the interviews around that. This was very much the stories that wanted to come forward and what story did that tell. And so every day was sitting down... Every day, a new day of sitting down and learning about all these people that we shot.
Right.
Every single day, letting go of what you thought the day before and the judgment of it and opening yourself again to what wants to come forward. And that is very meditative.
Absolutely.
It And I had to really do that. I had to really open myself in that every single way, because of course I would have reactions to things that would come up while working on this material. Some of it's very scary. Some of it's very dark. Some of it, you know, is unrelenting. Some of it is no fun to watch because of technical aspects.
Right.
You know, and you go, and I've got to ignore the fact that this is so hard to hear, but this could still be valuable and we can fix it. So there's all these things, and you have to let go of it.
Oh,
let go of all of it. Let go of all of it to be open to it. And that is very meditative.
Yeah.
So I would say that I did it not the way that I thought. Not on, oh, I will sit down and I will light candles and I will go on guided explorations.
Right, exactly.
Or I will align my chakras each and every morning,
right,
which I used to like to do. And now, you know, never mind aligning the chakras. I was spending an hour aligning the chakras of my computer tower with Final Cut Pro, which needed to be done every day.
But yet you meditated every day. Then
I would say that
that's an achievement there. That's
number two was practice right speech more every day. And we've talked about this. You know, this is kind. Is it necessary? Is it true? Does it mm-hmm. improve upon the silence? And I nail this. I mean, I think all the time I do this more and more. Every day I fail to, and every day I do practice it.
Right.
And
or you think
setting this intention, and
then the intention's there.
But then also that it's not even just about the speech. It's also what energy then are you embodying?
Mm-hmm.
It's not just if you don't have something, if you have something mean or judgment or whatever, hold on to it. But then also this energy. Listen to the voice inside you that wants to offer up this thing that is not kind, necessary, true, or improves upon the silence. And listen to that voice. Don't ignore it.
Right.
Don't disown it and say, well, what is it that you really want from me? And often that voice just wants to be listened to by yourself.
Yes.
And then you can release that energy. So, and again, it tied in very nicely with the film. Did a cut, did an inclusion of anything. Was it kind? Was it necessary? Was it true? And does it improve upon things?
Yeah.
And that really helped me kind of have a strategy towards, you know, giving shape to
a huge amount of information.
Of information and stories and characters and
everything.
Personalities.
Absolutely. Well done, then.
Be more gentle was a third one. Be more gentle with people.
Did you snap anyone this year? Did anyone snap? Did you break anyone?
Well, the thing that I learned was that it has to start with yourself.
Be more gentle with yourself. Not so hard on yourself.
And I would say no.
Oh.
Because I drove myself pretty hard
right.
to accomplish certain
You
things.
Did a couple all-nighters, I recall. So,
yeah, that was the least of it. But really, yeah, I mean, you know, part of being more gentle is being less judgmental also, mm-hmm. and having more empathy and more compassion. And it was impossible for me not to have judgment in my hip pocket all the time.
Interesting.
Because in this film, many of the people we encountered and their stories are rife with judgment.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be very, very important for me to not become what I'm beholding.
Exactly.
At the same time, that goes somewhere. So it was never this comfortable, as much as I'm making it seem like all, you know, beautiful and lovely to encounter these stories and everything, it's a constant battle with judgment.
Oh.
Because it's coming at me from what I'm witnessing, so that I'm hearing it from myself. Because we do, as a defense, become what we behold. So if you hear someone being judgmental about something,
right.
then you become judgmental about something.
Hmm.
And so it becomes very important then to kind of that put that to the side. But I'm carrying it all the time. And
that's where you need a physical or meditative practice.
To be gentle.
To be gentle.
Gentle with myself.
To remove that which
yeah.
you are not.
To be gentle with myself.
Yeah.
And that's the thing is that, you know, when we went into the world to shoot, we were very gentle and completely non-judgmental mm-hmm. with people. It's in the quiet of my own isolation where all of this is coming out.
Right.
So it becomes a very interesting one to think about and leads us back to some of these other practices, the physical practices and
right.
and the mind practices to occupy your mind, to give your judgment
a break,
or to give your judgment a playground of its own.
Oh, to exercise, so it's not coming out in your everyday.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good one.
And so then we lead to creative.
Oh, yes.
I love, no, number four for spirit was to explore Vermont.
And you did that.
No, I didn't go to Vermont, the state of Vermont, all year. Oh, and that's what I meant. But since I just wrote explore Vermont, I'm going to say, yes, I did. I know Vermont Avenue here in Los Angeles so much better than I ever did before. I win.
You win.
So then my creative.
Yes.
Direct Night Falls Fast.
Ouch.
Yeah, did not happen.
No. Close though.
Yeah, well, a couple times I've scheduled it and budgeted it and broke it down and have an executive producer ready to work with us on it and make it happen. And then it became a thing of scheduling it. Well, wait a minute. I think I'll be done editing this movie in August.
Yeah.
Right.
In November.
So, did not happen.
Okay.
Did not happen. But at the same time, as like we described with painting, directing doesn't begin when you're on the set.
That's right. You're already mentally involved with this.
So I've been doing a lot of work to direct it already. We just are not...
in front of a camera.
Not in front of a camera.
That's all.
On it. Write my book, Sex and Magic.
Oh, yes.
I'm going to cheat a little bit on this because I'm going to say yes because I've been writing it.
Right.
But I meant complete it.
Right.
Even though, but the words are write it. So I wrote it. And you can't say it's a book like this when there is no deadline.
Yeah.
You know, the deadline becomes arbitrary.
True.
The book will let me know when it's done.
It's done when it's done.
Complete Truth is out there.
Ah, well done.
Nailed it.
Nailed that.
And I liked this one. Explore creative opportunities with different subjects in truth.
Oh.
And what I meant by that was, you know, we would go and interview people. And all of them are very interesting and creative people. And many of them have their own things. Or you have ideas of things that you might want to do with them. And so we have started to discuss certain things. Like with our friend, the painter, Lee McCloskey.
Mm-hmm.
Philosopher and painter Lee McCloskey. I've started working on, already shot one, a short piece, a series of short films to illuminate as kind of video companion some of his books.
Ah, that's
and,
cool.
And already shot one and going to have that edited any day now. And but then also, for example, on a more ambitious way or more commercial way, the idea of the project that Lyle and I are pursuing, you know, through Rational Exuberance, of doing a pilot and pitching this to different cable networks, a series about veterans and veterans issues, with using as our focus Tucker Smallwood, who is in Truth is Out There, and using him to investigate. And we kind of, our idea was to pair two different things. Issues that veterans who are returning home now from the Gulf, from Afghanistan, are facing.
Yeah.
And pairing that in each episode with some achievement accomplished by veterans of past wars.
Ah.
Upon returning.
Right.
Or that may be ongoing now.
Right, right.
And kind of comparing those.
Well, that's pretty cool. Well, good luck with that.
So?
I'm glad to hear about it.
For the first time.
For the first time.
So now we move to this year, 2011.
Yes. Now this year, it changed because those which weren't achieved are now on my list, of course. So, you want to start?
No, why don't...
Okay, mine...
Well, do you want me to... Well, okay,
yeah.
Since I just did those, I guess you're right. I guess that's always where you start with the New Year's resolutions.
Right.
Is what did you leave unfinished, or what did the process of those lead you into?
Absolutely.
So I guess just, look, it's again, finish my book.
Right.
Because there are other things that I would like to get to write, other screenplays, for example. But at some point, as much as the book will let me know when it's done, I need to remind it that there are other things that need to be written.
Yeah, get out of the way.
Yeah. And unlike you with painting, I have a hard time going from one piece of writing to another piece of writing.
Oh, really?
I can go, let's say, legal. I can go document, letter, and fiction, but I can't go
fiction
short story to screenplay or something like that.
Awesome.
Meditate every day.
Very good.
Again, and it needs to be active, and it needs to be separate from a specific aim, like with the editing.
Yeah, right.
It can be a specific aim, but unique to that day, unique mm-hmm. to what's coming forward within me. Playing basketball.
That's a good one.
Before I get... Yeah, before the body gets a little too brittle, got to get back out there and dust off that wicked three-point shot.
That's right.
Play tennis.
Speaking of brittle body.
Play tennis. Tennis, you know, people can play much longer life than basketball. and a game that I used to play a lot.
Oh, did you?
And it's fun because it's, you know, it can be very social too, which is good.
Awesome.
When summer comes around, swimming.
Yes.
What better way of working out the stress than swimming?
Love it. I also have my underwater MP3 player to go swimming in.
Wow.
Waterproof. Look at that.
Another dance class?
Another ballroom dance?
No. We'll see what comes forward.
Fantastic.
Again, read 2 books a month.
Very good.
Direct night falls fast.
This time it's going to happen.
Travel with The Truth Is Out There.
As we said, the festivals.
Self-distribute The Truth Is Out There. When I say self, we mean rational exuberance.
Exactly.
This is an important intention, because just as important as the intention was to tell that story, make that film, do it with integrity and honor, an equal part of this, and one of the reasons we set out to do this in the first place, was to reach audiences directly.
Yeah.
As the storytellers, to stop the mindless and outmoded concepts involved in distribution that all seem to be based on spending money on marketing in order to make money, and also then on exploiting the audience that is there.
Yeah.
How do you best exploit it? And it not only is that an idea that's dying all around us.
Yeah.
Even as more and more money and media is spent on it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also no fun.
No.
You know, and there is no more fun than making a film and telling stories and then traveling around directly getting them to people who might enjoy them or who at least will open themselves to them, and then hearing their stories and learning about it and
Absolutely.
Being transformed as a storyteller through that process. And so that is why we want to do it, and we also want to do it because of 2 very important things. One, we can prove to filmmakers that you can actually make money doing this, that your investors can see their money back if you're willing to go outside the box in terms of how you distribute, because the system is set up to work against the filmmaker seeing money, against the artist seeing the money, and against the investors seeing the money. The system is set up to support the system.
Right.
So, you know, we want to show that the artists and investors that this is viable and you can do it, because that's the way that really interesting work might come about.
Right.
And the second thing is, quite frankly, we can give more to an audience that's open to us if we're allowed to distribute it in this way.
Yeah, right.
You know, we've got different versions that we're talking about bringing. We've got so much bonus footage. We can give more for these people's hard-earned money and, no less important, their very precious time.
Time, exactly.
We can give them more, and because we don't have to deal with paying the overhead of a system that is bloated and working against all of us.
Right.
So that's a very important one. It would be nice to get to work on the follow-up to The Truth Is Out There. Truth Is Out There, Ancient Wisdom.
Yeah.
And finally, most important resolution, getting the hell out of Los Angeles for all of autumn.
Spectacular.
Not being in L.A. from the, you know, from late September until November. Until early November. That whole first 5-6 weeks.
Why?
Because it beats the hell out of me.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I got so sick this year.
The
sinus infection the year before.
Yeah, it's bad.
You know, I got to get out of here. I got to get into a little... Because people don't understand, in Los Angeles especially, it being a desert, that shift dust. In the climate, the dust is horrible. And getting to maybe a wetter climate, to an actual fall somewhere. Might
Vancouver.
Be good.
Hello, Vancouver.
Or Vermont.
Mine, of course, like you, a daily meditation practice. Mine, a daily yoga practice.
We can do it together.
Oh,
we can hold hands.
That's weird. Of course, I'm going to paint 75 pictures, just downgraded by 25, because that's also achievable at the same time. It's
grasping. So we don't worry about finishing up the 100. We're going back to zero.
Yeah.
and we're starting.
We start again, 775.
Give yourself more.
Yes, absolutely. And the same as Rational Exuberance, with The Truth Is Out There, travel with that and get the next picture going. Also my goal, as we are in the same. And then Chill Pack. Of course, get the sales. I got a warehouse full of them that are ready to go, and they're on sale, of course. They have been this season. I'm sure they're still on sale now, only $19.95 for worldwide shipping. So that's going to continue. And my final one, this is kind of a new thing. As you know, every day or every week, we say we come from the historic core of downtown Los Angeles. People don't know what that means. So I'm about to show them. I am going to start a tour company where you can do a one-hour walking tour of downtown Los Angeles and see the historic vaudeville houses, wow. See where Harold Lloyd filmed Safety Last, see where Chaplin met Einstein in the theater of his premiere. All of that stuff is available in like a 12-block radius, and I am going to start a tour company called LA Confidential Tours with Dean Haglin. So it's when you come to LA, you don't get on a bus and go see Stars Homes. You can actually hang out with a TV celebrity as he walks you around the glorious, historic downtown Los Angeles. And you can go to the website, laconfidentialtours.com.
And I love the idea also that, you know, we get questions. We love answering questions from our listeners and interacting. I love the idea that maybe you'll get questions also on this that spark something that we'll talk about on the show.
I love that, too. Think of that.
And, you know, one of the other things that we love to do is we love when we have guests, and our hour is almost up, but I think we would be remiss if we did not thank some of the people who helped make 2010 such a great year on your
Chill Pack Hollywood Hour.
And I'm not going to go in any kind of chronological order, although we, of course, got the year started in terms of guests with two of your old friends.
Who was that?
Tom Braidwood and Bruce Harwood.
Yes.
Who guested on the second show of last year.
Yeah.
Chill Pack Hollywood Hour number 139.
Oh, my gosh. That's going back.
From Tom's home.
Yeah.
And that was a lot of fun, wasn't
it? That was a lot of fun. In fact, I just saw him a couple weeks ago.
Who?
Tom.
Where was that?
In Vancouver.
Oh, in Vancouver.
Yeah.
Okay.
Technically, I think that'll work.
Oh, you will have seen him.
Yes,
okay.
Yeah, that's right.
What else? You know, on Chill Pack Hollywood Hour number 168, on August 2nd.
Oh, who was our guest?
We had, for the first time, we did a show all about music.
Oh, yeah.
And our guest was a music journalist and longtime listener, Yoshi Kato.
Yes.
Also known as Yoshi Youngblood, as he talked about on the
That's
show.
That's right.
And that was a fun show.
Yeah.
So we
also learned a little bit about iTunes.
iTunes, yeah.
Yeah, as he works there.
It was very interesting.
I was fascinated.
Let's see. Chill Pack Hollywood Hour number 164. I'm jumping a little bit all over the place. Another first-time guest. On July 5th, our Independence Day show,
we
celebrated the Independence, independent film, with Slam Dance programmer Josh Mandel.
That's right.
And that was a lot of fun. And
he was very informative and also very helpful.
And he's, of course, a talented documentary filmmaker in his own right.
Yes, that's true.
Very recently, November 29th.
Oh, yeah.
Chill Pack Hollywood Hour 185. We, of course, welcomed our first ever three-time guest.
That's right.
Mr. David Soboloff.
Always great to have him back.
And we finally, because we'd been threatening to do it for a long time, we had him on to talk about things other than the politics of the act.
The Screen Actors Guild, yeah.
And he talked a lot about his career as a voiceover actor.
Yep.
And
we learned about the term "leave your lung on the glass."
Yeah, it was a hilarious show.
It was
and
hilarious.
Really informative. And if you haven't checked it out, I really encourage you to do so. Chill Pack Hollywood Hour number 185.
Yes.
You know, it's interesting because sometimes you know the names of people, and we try to get guests who are doing interesting aspects of the business rather than necessarily, you know, than going after name factor. Because so many of the people who, you know, are interested in the business. So, you know, you're not going to learn about the business necessarily by hearing, you know, a top actor
talk about it.
You know, you're going to hear about it because there's so many different careers in this business and so many types of personalities, and it's what makes it fun.
Absolutely.
So, David Soboloff.
David Soboloff,
only
great
three-time guest today.
That's right.
A few weeks before that, on Halloween,
Oh, yeah.
Chilpak Hollywood Hour number 181.
That was
speaking
a good one.
About one of these different fields. Mm-hmm. Somehow we did an audio only show about the art of storyboarding.
Yes. Without a single
and
image.
Pre-visualization.
Yeah.
And it was fascinating.
It was fascinating.
And so much fun. Another friend of the show, frequent, loyal listener, and great guy, Robbie Consing, was our guest.
Right.
And we were very glad that he came on and did that. Chilpak Hollywood Hour number 181.
Quite fascinating.
Chilpak Hollywood Hour number 156, back on May 10th, was our third-year anniversary show. And we had brief moments with a couple of guests with whom we appeared on a panel in London.
Oh, yeah.
Robin Tudge.
That's right.
And, of course, author and historian Graham Hancock.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very nice of them to let us record it and use part of it for our third anniversary show.
It was very nice of
live
them.
Live from London.
The London Sci-Fi Film Fest.
Chilpak Hollywood Hour number 156.
Spectacular.
Finally, yes. Our last one with a guest, Chilpak Hollywood Hour number 159, another repeat guest.
Oh, yes.
Actually, all about film. We talk about film critics, the role of film critics a lot, and this guy's one of our favorites, is he not? Luke Y. Thompson.
Luke Y. Thompson, always insightful.
And
he went home with a gift.
Yes, he did.
I think he got the life-size potato creature from, what was that called? I can't even remember now.
A Full Moon production.
A Full Moon production. Yeah. That's right. That's right. You'll have to listen to remember what I gave him.
And the last guest that we should thank, who did the best show you will never hear.
Oh, jeez. My fault.
Claudia Christian did a great hour with us, and it doesn't exist. It's except in our memories.
So my other New Year's resolution, don't screw up.
Don't delete any other shows.
Yeah.
Just out and out delete them. Someday when you hear us, when you see us in Q&As around the world answering questions that the truth is out there, ask us maybe. You'll be reminded because Claudia's in the movie.
Yes.
What happened to the show that you did
funny,
with Claudia?
Funny story.
Yeah, it is a funny story.
No, it's not. Okay.
We laugh so that we may not cry, but thank you, Claudia, and we will, of course, have Claudia
back
on a show
in
the future.
And not delete it.
And many more exciting guests.
Absolutely.
Find every show we've ever done at chillpackhollywood.com.
That's easy.
Become a liker of the show on Facebook at facebook.com/chillpackhollywood.
Simple.
A friend of the show at MySpace, myspace.com/chillpackhollywood.
Mm-hmm.
Follow Dean Haglund on Twitter.
At D. Haglund.
Follow me on Twitter at Phil Larinus.
Yep.
Please visit our sponsor, Chillpack, at chillpack.com. The Chilpak is a laptop cooling gel pack that takes your laptop, keeps it running fast, increases its lifespan by keeping it cool. It's an easy-to-use, affordable, environmentally friendly solution to a complex problem. Till next week, I'm Phil Larinus.
I'm Dean Haglund. See you then.